Well, YouTube family, happy Valentine's Day. I received a beautiful message from the Lord that I think will really be edifying to my sister brides as well. I've been having monumental problems seeing and hearing the Lord clearly lately, to the point where I've just collapsed in tears. You know, I love to post things that he says to me, but I can't post them unless he speaks to me. So that's part of the tension of it. And the other part of it is I love to be with him, and it's so comforting to be with him. And that's where all my strength comes from. So I reached that point again today, and I said, Lord, I can't live without you anymore. I just can't. You've got to do something. And when Ezekiel and I sat down to do our devotions and readings together, Ezekiel opened our book, Chronicles of the Bride, to the entry that was from Valentine's Day, 2007. Wow. And this is what it said. It addressed this very problem. Here we are on Valentine's Day. So it begins, the title is Happy Valentine's Day. And subtitles, My Unbelief and a Fear of Deception, February 14th, 2007. The Lord Jesus is very present before me. Why do you avoid me? He said. I had been busying myself with many things and finding excuses not to get into prayer. I believe this was a result of false guilt. Many times I have felt guilt for doing things that were God's will, but I was unsure of that at the time, so I just did the best I could to discern what would please him the most. But the enemy sends in lying spirits that accuse when we are innocent, so that we will avoid the presence of God. Okay, now that was from the journal in 2007. Interestingly enough, that is the exact problem I was having today. I thought that I had done something to offend the Lord, or that I hadn't repented sufficiently, that I haven't recognized my sins and he was waiting on me. Wow, the same exact problem almost, I guess, 8 years ago. So, many times I felt the guilt for doing things that were God's will, as I said. But before I had a chance to answer and reply to his question, why was I avoiding him? He said, fear. You are afraid. You've gotten into this habit through disobedience because you were afraid of what I would say. But now that you are making every effort to be obedient, there's no reason to fear. I want to speak to you face to face this way every day. Now, this isn't just for me, guys. This is for you, too. The Lord loves to be with his bride, and he loves to communicate with you. I had begun to fear deception. He responded to my unspoken thought, as he always does. I know you fear deception, but as long as you remain humble, you need not fear that I will allow you to be misled. And then I wrote a little note here. I can only pray that his grace will warn me when I'm not humble and I'm entering into the sin of pride, the most difficult sin to recognize in ourselves. Well, I was listening to him on this Valentine's Day, but I wasn't writing because I wasn't sure that it was Jesus yet. And he said, I want you to be writing this down about this fear of reprimand. I am not a man who says unjust things and puts unjust judgments on you. I'm God, remember? You are my bride. Well, I felt so unworthy, so ashamed, I could not even look at him, even though he was holding my face in his hands, and I sensed tenderly looking into my eyes. He continued, you still don't know how I feel about you, what you mean to me, do you? You still don't know, do you? We are one flesh, my beloved. I want you walking with me every day, talking and walking together, hand in hand. We are one. Now, I'd like to take a side here. When he says we're one flesh, he's talking about through communion. and I receive communion every day. Okay, I had been asking him earlier, since we have to be on this earth, couldn't you talk to me all the time? And I realized as I began to pray tonight that I've been nervous around him in these experiences, even though I have had solid confirmations and discernment of my husband that this was indeed the Lord, not a familiar spirit. Despite the beautiful wedding we had and this awesome palace and swimming together, I still feel so formal with him. When he said this, I realized that false guilt was underlying our encounters. I wonder who could have sent that in, that false guilt. Yet when he looked at me, I felt like a vapor that merged into his being. Nonetheless, I've continued to feel inhibited in his presence. So the Lord said, I want to begin with a new level of trust, one that will allow us to communicate clearly. There is much I have to tell you, and I heard your musings tonight about who will be my instructor in heaven if we're constantly increasing in understanding. Well, the answer is, I will, not only in heaven, but here as well. We are one, and it is my desire and intention that we speak familiarly, not through a glass darkly, not through a veil, nor a tunnel, nor in any way impeded. That's my desire. I began to cry because that's the most wonderful thing I have to look forward to in heaven. No more confusion. He replied, my beloved, my precious, no more confusion here and now. I thought about it for a moment, and then he said, your agreement? Lord, I agree. Please help my faith. Jesus replied, do you expect me to let you fend for yourself? Do you think your unbelief comes as a surprise or catches me off guard, as if I didn't anticipate it and already have a provision for it? I've already conquered all your enemies, remember? He looked at me tenderly and a little hurt. You still have much to learn about me and how I love, honor, and cherish you. How deeply I desire to be with you, fully present, familiarly, just like we are right now in this moment. Happy Valentine's Day from me and all of heaven. You will be lonely no more. Since I am coming to take you away with me soon, we are preparing you to be accustomed to us, the body of Christ in heaven, the great cloud of witnesses. Your transition will be as simple as walking through a doorway. And, you know, when he said that every day he wanted to be present to me, he's expressing his heart's desire as it was in the Garden of Eden, before Adam and Eve sinned. You know, he came every day to be with them in the cool of the garden. Well, after I read this entry during our devotions from Valentine's Day in 2007, I just sat there and broke down in tears. I just couldn't do anything else. And Lord, you've answered my prayers. I felt so condemned, and I didn't know why. I love you, he said, and began to sing the song he gave me in 2013, which I'm working on right now, by the way, and I'll probably be done with it in a week or so. Anyway, it's actually a song where he sang the melody in the first line, and the title of the song is I Love You, and it's him singing that to his bride. The Lord continued, I want the joy of your countenance to shine on me, your God. I want to see me reflected in that sweet face. Don't let unbelief saddle and bridle you any more, Claire. No more. Please, no more. I thought about the analogy he gave. To saddle and bridle is to give the one riding me total control over everything I say and do. He went on to say, so much of what I have said, you have heard and dismissed as familiar spirits or your own mind. I want you to pray for the grace to increasingly know the difference. You need to know the difference more clearly so much of what I have said, you have heard. And I kind of sensed a little frustration in his voice when he said, so now here we are again at this place where I must convince you. It is me and no other. So I asked the Holy Spirit to give me a reading from the Bible Promises to confirm that this is Jesus speaking to me. And I opened to hospitality. 1 Peter 9:10 is what caught my eye, and I felt it had the anointing. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I thought about it for a minute. I said, Lord, I don't get this. Hospitality, are you trying to point to something I haven't done, like I'm not taking good enough care of our homeless guest in the front house? And so you're withholding your presence from me? Is that what it is? So I opened the Bible Promises again, and I opened to probably the most beautiful reading in that whole little book. As a young man marries a virgin, so your maker will marry you. So obviously, no, it was not that I was guilty of neglect. No, hospitality had to do with my gifts. Well, at that point, he said, it's your gift, Claire. It's your calling to be a light in the wilderness of this world. Use your gift. Your gift is hearing and recognizing me too. That's why you got hospitality. Okay, so I'm taking a moment here. You know, we're a light to the world, and you can't put a light under a bushel basket. You need to put it on a hill. And many of you who are listening to this know that you are called to be a light to the world. And that's a gift. It's a gift to share. So it's imperative for you, too, to be able to recognize the Lord's voice and discern when it's not His voice so that you don't mislead other people as well. I mean, we can never mislead people by quoting scripture or by, you know, properly in context talking about scripture, but people hunger for the word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You know, they hunger for something special, a word in season. And as lights in the world, the Lord has given us light in our hearts and in our minds and speaks to us, Ramas, illuminated words from God that we can speak over other people. So it's so important to be secure when you open your mouth and know that it's God speaking through you. And as a light, it's our duty to make sure it's God and not someone or something else speaking through us. And as you know, that's a big topic of mine, and I've got a lot of videos on discerning the Lord. And here we are, adding another one. But this, he gave me some techniques here that are pretty neat. I'm going to go on to share that with you. So I asked him, but why is it so hard? What is standing in the way? Truly, tell me, Lord, please. And that's when he began. You have many enemies trying to confuse you and steal your gift, trying to erode your confidence with false guilt. They don't want you to have this gift, and you'll have to fight for it and fight to keep it as well. That is the naked truth. Wow, so if I bind those enemies, I will recognize you more clearly? Eventually, yes, but you need to work at it and be diligent in targeting the monsters. Monsters. And I thought about my video, Tag Along Monsters, which is a technique the devils use. They tag along on a word that the Lord is giving you. Monsters, he repeated. Thieves, liars, devils. This is where your problem lies. Fix this and we will be much clearer. But can't you clear the air for me? I've asked you to do that, and I've prayed over our time together. And he said, I would rather see you take authority and teach others to as well than to do it for you. You understand that? Yes, I suppose I do. Well, please, Lord, give me some names, like the handles of the demons, with which I can grab hold of them, which I can use to clear the air. As I was taught early in my Christian walk that it was important to have the name of a demon that was oppressing you. And so I asked him to give me some handles. So I heard lying spirits, beguiling spirits. These are your major enemies. Fog, brain fog, curtains, voices, vehicles of disturbance, hindering, obstacles, and all vehicles of demonic oppression. That's a list. Now I'm feeling the need to renounce and repent as well, after he said that. I renounce confusion, self-doubt, false guilt, and spirits of propaganda that lie about the faithful character of God. I renounce any pride within me. I repent of all prideful thoughts. Lord, I present my contrite spirit to you and call upon your faithfulness and mercy to forgive my sins, restore and protect that which you wish to do with and through me for others. For it is written, the Lord has heard the desire of the poor. Your ear has heard the preparation of their heart. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I shortened this, so I condensed it, so I'm going to read it in the condensed version. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is Holy, I dwell with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the hearts of the contrite. And that was taken from Isaiah 57:15 and Matthew 5:8. You hear the desire of the poor, Psalm 10:17. And then the Lord continued, and he said, there now, you have a prayer and a technique for clearing the air and moving the heart of your God to respond to your entreaties. This truly is a tool for you and for others to clear the way for our trysting time. By the way, I looked up tryst in the Webster's, and it says private, romantic, rendezvous between lovers. And then he continued, oh, Claire, I do so want you to put an end to the interference. It is very important to me and to those who are serving. Please see to it that it works and share it with the world. I will honor these prayers, both for the weak of heart and mind and for the strong who've been under great oppression. When I received communion, I saw myself as a bride, but I was in a casket with my hands crossed over my bosom and a pink tea rose crown. I was alive, but I was sleeping. I prayed, and Jesus bent over the casket and took her by the hand and raised her up. My bride, he said, no longer sleeps, the sleep of those who are deaf and dumb. Now she hears my voice in newness of life, filled with joy and life eternal. And as I rose up, it was springtime, and everything was new and green and jubilant, including me. And the Lord began, this is what I had for you on Valentine's Day. Don't ever let them separate us again, Claire. When he said, don't ever let them separate us again, what he was talking about was no one can separate us from God. No one. But they can interfere in the communications which make us feel separated. That's an illusion. We're never separated from God, but there are times when we feel distant from Him, which I've gone into in other videos. But in this case, when He says, don't ever let them separate us again, He's talking about in communication. Take authority over those things that are trying to block your communication with the Lord or trying to affect it in any way. Don't ever let them separate us again, Claire. Use these weapons of war I have personally armed you with, and do battle bravely, my bride. continually protecting your relationship and teaching others to do likewise. You are my beloved. I love you. The end of his message. So what is exactly the point of this message and this teaching? Well, first of all, the Lord has given us some new weapons to use against the enemy who is trying to intercept communications back and forth between the Lord and you and the Lord and I. These are new weapons, and I would really appreciate some feedback for those of you who've been having the same struggle, if you see a difference. And that'll be important, because then we can refer these things to other people and they'll see what this has done for you in your life and have confidence to do the same with their own messages from the Lord in their own quiet time. And some of you who've been struggling are not going to struggle anymore. It's going to be really beautiful. And the second point in this, which is kind of funny, but nonetheless it's pretty important. You'll notice that Valentine's Day message was 8 years ago to the day. Eight is the number of completion, or new beginnings, actually. Seven is completion, eight is new beginnings. And you noticed at the end I had the vision right after I received communion of rising up out of the casket. Well, I've got to say, guys, if there's hope for me, there's hope for you. 8 years, it took me 8 years, and I'm still, have been still flailing around with the same problems. And if you think you're thick-headed or obtuse, or you think that you're a slow learner, or you think that you're unworthy, I mean, anything that you're thinking negatively about yourself, I've already manifested that in my life. I've already done all those things, and I am all those things. And look what the Lord has done with me. If he can do it with me, he can do it with you. There couldn't be a worse case of flightiness and forgetfulness, I don't believe. There could be a worse case than what I am. And I'm not saying that pridefully, because there's not any pride to be had in that. It's rather shameful. But understand that if he can do these things with me, and he can pull me out of these things and teach me how to hear from him clearly, he can do it with you. I promise he can do it with you. So this message is especially to increase your faith, your hope, and your trust in the Lord. And I hope that it really helps you. And please, do us a favor and give us some feedback on this technique. Let us know how you're coming along. Thank you so much. So the Lord bless you, YouTube family, and I hope this Valentine's Day message touches your heart and makes it easier for you too to communicate with the Lord. And I'd love your feedback. I've been using these prayers today, and so far so good, but we'll see as time goes on just how well they're working. The Lord bless you.